Master Bruce, I... Ms. Gordon, I hear that you've discovered our little secret.
Yes, I admit it. I am Batman.
And I am the goddamn Batman.
This episode of Legends of the Dark Knight features Steve, Mike, and Tara.
Almost gave me a heart attack. I thought you were the Batman.
No.
Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into Gotham City is...
Dave, Joe, and Mike.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yes, we come back after a couple months hiatus.
Yeah, a couple months. It'll, like we said in episode 20, it'll pick up once we get to, Yeah, once we get to Beyond, it'll really pick up, because I think the way that we were going to do it is we do this episode, we do the next episode, take a month off, do the commentaries of the movies, take another month off, and then go ahead and just kick Beyond's ass and get it done that way. Tara would have been here if she wasn't at a Backstreet Boys concert. Yes, the Backstreet Boys apparently take precedence over Batman in a 21, 22-year-old's life.
Oh. No offense, Tara.
No, I know. I'm just messing
around. We're just dogging you.
Yeah,
of course,
yeah.
It is on us as well, because, you know, it's been ages since we've done an episode. So, yeah. It's... We do have big things planned, I mean, for the show. I mean, who knows how far this will go. I mean, we're going to do through the animated series. We're going to do through the commentaries of the various DCAU films and then Beyond and who knows what else after that, if it continues.
Yes. But yeah, other than that, just been... getting the pull bag off the ground, which is our comics show, and now that I've been reading New 52 stuff, it's like, give me more Nightwing and Batgirl stuff, and finally, I can't believe Kyle is going to do this. Kyle Higgins, the writer on Nightwing, they're actually going to do a Nightwing annual this year, Nightwing annual number one, or Nightwing annual 2013, whatever they're deciding to call it, but it's going to be a story about Dick Grayson and Barbara Gordon. I'm going to just absolutely love that issue.
You're going to, like, fangasm all over that.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, like, I'm not already. The cover's already my desktop image. They're just, you know, no disrespect to Bruce Wayne Batman, but Nightwing and Batgirl are my two favorite characters.
Outside of your cup of tea, so.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. Villains Month is coming up from DC Comics in September, and we'll be doing a bunch of coverage over on the pullbag for that. So there's that. I can't think of too much else.
I can't really think of too much else either. I've been watching, not to drag the intro on too long, for those of you wondering what's been going on at Geekcast Radio, we're currently getting ready for our top 100 animated films countdown, which will begin in September, late September.
Yes.
Which hopefully some of the Batman films get in there.
Very better.
I will let you know, I voted very highly of several of the ones with
Yes.
Kevin Conroy. So, yes. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Hopefully they rank very high. We will be sure to let you know when the commentary episodes get released.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. But and also we're gearing up for another GCRN Wars video game icon battle. So
that's the beginning of next year.
Well, it's still gearing up, but
yes,
it'll be following the top 100 animated films guide or countdown.
yeah.
But but yes, that's what we've been doing. I've been watching the new Beware the Batman cartoon, which but it's pretty damn good.
It's pretty good for, you know, a singular Batman cartoon. I would say non-DCAU Batman cartoons, if I was going to rank them, it would probably be the old Adventures of Batman and Robin, Beware the Batman, The Batman from 2004, and then Brave and the Bold would be last. Because I just can't take Oswald from Drew Carey seriously as the voice of Batman.
I can take it with exception, only for specific episode.
Mm-hmm.
Episode with Kevin Conroy in it.
Yes, so, Super Batman of Planet X. Yep.
Yes. Well, Diedrich Bader was unfortunately that Super Batman, but.
But Kevin Conroy was the Batman on Planet X. That's the.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I really like that. But anyways, yes. Before we get into a train wreck, we will continue on with the first episode of the night right after this.
There she is!
Get her!
Sorry, boys, but Goldie's mine now. Good boy, yeah. Ta-ta, guys. And don't worry about Goldie here. She's gonna love her new home.
First up is Cult of the Cat. Catwoman races through the hedge maze of an estate and looks at a golden statuette of a cat that she has stolen. She is pursued by several individuals wearing cat costumes, wielding swords and claws. She runs into a large black cat, but she is able to sweet-talk it into liking her and runs off. The pursuers go after her, but the jungle cat turns on them and chases them off. However, the leader of the cult orders his men to get Catwoman, no matter what it takes. Your thoughts?
Get Catwoman, no matter the cost. Actually, I should have said, Catwoman must be stopped, no matter the cost. Oh, God. This episode, I like Catwoman in this series, but I'm sorry. This episode is just bad.
I don't like Catwoman as much in this new style. I've stated that in previous episodes, but I don't like this look. I don't mind her out of costume look.
Yeah.
Because it more resembles other aspects of her continuity.
Yes.
But I am not a fan of the costumed version. But also, I don't really care about Catwoman episodes. I understand she's kind of important, but she steals priceless gems and statues, every time. There's nothing.
That's her shtick, at least in the DCAU. Now, I do like it when I like her when she and Bruce are playing around, whether it's in costume or out of costume. And I mean the sexual tension between them, not actually getting between the sheets. It's just one of those things where it's so very cool to see that they can have this friction, but at the same time, they still really like each other. But yeah, no, I honestly don't care for Selena in or out. I mean, out of costume, she looks damn hot, but I don't really care for the dark, short hair. If the hair was longer, maybe I wouldn't mind the dark hair, but the costume itself is just fugly. It really is.
Well, it's too basic. There's nothing to it. Like, I understand they went more simple in this new version, but I mean, and even the, you know, a lot of the villains got pretty simple. I mean, it was too simple almost. I didn't mind the hero upgrades.
Yeah.
But the villains kind of got lackluster.
Yeah, pretty much. This episode is, for me, it's pretty forgettable. It's a cult of cat people. That's what it is.
And all they want is, they wanted, you know, well, for one, Catwoman stole from them and claims that, oh, she tainted the statue. The taint of Primus? But she tainted the statue and only her blood will sanctify it, which that's just, I'm sorry. I could more so understand the Catwoman episodes where she's kind of going against, you know, Rupert Thorne and, you know, or
Red Claw
and the other guy that was doing the genetic stuff to the cats and everything. But
yeah,
I've never liked when they've had like a terrorist group or like cultists or anything in any of the, you know, DCAU, just because I find them very uninteresting, even though they're the most relatable villains in real life.
Yeah, the only cult that really matters in this universe is the League of Shadows or whatever.
League of Assassins.
Whatever they're calling themselves this week. I mean, that's really the only cult that really should matter.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yes, that's right.
So, but yeah, all in all, it's, you know, of course, Catwoman helps Batman in this, and because Batman's trying to help her, and yeah, it's just, you know, everything ends up, of course, all right, and, you know, Catwoman ends up with all the jewels, and for once wasn't on the bad side of the law, so she kind of got away. But yeah, it's just, I don't really care for this much.
No.
And there's not much in production or inconsistencies or trivia other than the production notes. You have Batman's costume is horribly shredded, but due to censorship, his skin remains nearly untouched. Which, I'm sorry, there's no reason why he can't have cuts and be bloodied.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
And even in the previous DCAU episodes, he got a little bit banged up.
Yeah. And by the time Justice League rolled around, holy crap. I mean, you know, he was leaving DNA all over the streets. That's how Project Batman Beyond got started. Sorry, that's a huge spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen
Bat it. Bat DNA.
Yeah. He left it all over town. Not remotely what I meant.
Production inconsistencies. When Blake orders his henchmen to go after Catwoman, Martin's hair is brown. In the next shot, it's black. For the remainder of the episode, it's brown again. That was just bad Japanese animation.
What do you expect when you have a studio named Don Yang? Don needs to leave his Yang alone.
Well, it's in its full name. It's Coco Dong Yang.
Yeah,
it's just
Coco used to be. I could have sworn, and of course, the animation aficionados Ben and Neil would be able to tell us this a little bit more. I could have sworn Coco used to be a separate studio from Don Yang, but I don't know.
Maybe they worked in collaboration though, because it's a slash.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. It's a I could have sworn there were two separate studios.
One did the background, one did the actual characters.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm pulling shit out of my ass here.
All right, let's move on to the...
In the comics, Thomas Blake was the villain known as Catman, which explains the whole cult.
Yeah.
Again, but it's the last appearance of Catwoman in the series, so...
I wonder if Thomas ever had a son named John.
Was his last name Robin? Or first name Robin?
That's his middle name. John Robin Blake.
No, actually, his first name is Robin.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. So, with that, we will move on to the next episode.
Hey, it's a free rooftop, isn't it?
Nightwing, what are you doing here?
Oh, just following a pattern of obsessive behavior instilled in me at an early age.
You should work on your stealth skills. I heard you're coming halfway across the roof.
Good to see you too.
Hey, look.
Somehow I doubt anyone's doing repair work at this hour. All right now, let's climb down nice and slow.
Not so fast, big fella.
You heard him.
All wrapped up and no place to go. Hey!
You okay?
Yeah. Who is that guy?
Up next is Animal Act. Batman and Robin sit perched on a rooftop watching for criminals. Wow, they have no life. Nightwing arrives and has a quick conversation with his... Nightwing arrives and has a quick conversation with his old mentor. While the two talk, Robin points out that someone is climbing to the top of a radio tower and stealing a circuit board. Batman confronts the assailant, but is attacked and thrown from the roof while he is able to save himself with his grappling hook. Nightwing and Robin are left to confront the criminal alone. Robin tries tying up the crook with bolos, and the crook simply breaks the cords and takes off running. Nightwing gives chase and manages to knock off the criminal's hat, revealing that it is actually a gorilla. Nightwing recognizes the gorilla as Peaches, but she still manages to escape.
Come here, Peaches.
Oh, God.
Stop clowning around.
Oh, God. Why am I thinking of the presidents of the United States? Peaches for you. Peaches for me. Oh, God, I love that song. this one is... I believe it's the last Mad Hatter episode, and he's using mind control on the Haley Circus animals. I do like this episode for one reason only, that it actually shows Dick Grayson returning to Haley Circus. The actual plot and what actually happens is just awful. There are certain points where the animation is bad. It's very, when I watched it on the DVD set, it was very grainy, even for the DVD set, it was very grainy. Obviously the voice acting is top notch, but I just, this episode, and I've never, even though it's Haley Circus and even though it is Dick Grayson, Nightwing, Robin, whatever, I just don't like animal episodes in general. I didn't like, On Leather Wings. I didn't like, what's that, Farmer Brown or whatever the hell his name
was.
That
was worse than On Leather Wings.
No, I'm not saying... Yes, it was. I'm just saying that I don't like episodes based around animals.
I'm of the same opinion there. So.
Yeah, I wasn't saying at all that On Leather Wings is worse than the Farmer Brown episode, but what did you think of this one?
I didn't mind it too much. I mean, I don't particularly care for the animal thing, but I kind of got why the Mad Hatter would use them, because they're stupid without the hat.
Yeah.
But I'm not a huge fan of the Mad Hatter anyway.
I like him in certain things.
I like him in certain things, but it seems like this was just like a gratuitous throw-in.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I like the fact that they kind of touch on more of Nightwing's past.
Yeah.
In this. And actually have more connection to him, kind of like his Robin's Reckoning and that kind of stuff. But I have to agree. I don't really care for the fact that it had animals, but again, you know, the gorilla, that is also the downfall of the Mad Hatter. So
yes, it is.
He just takes them and butt rapes him.
Just like a Three Stooges gag.
And as it says on the DC Wiki, it says Peaches teaches the Mad Hatter a lesson about manipulating her, and he's sitting on top of him. It looks horrible. The screenshot is horrid. It's hilarious, though.
Yes, as far as the production...
The gorilla's looking down.
Stop it. As far as the production inconsistencies. In the shot where the Mad Hatter removes his clown wig, the colors of the wig and his actual hair are switched. In one scene, Peaches the gorilla is shown to break Bola's throne on it by Robin. In the previous episode, Critters, a giant cow... which possessed a much greater strength than the gorilla, was shown to be unable to break them. Continuity. The Joker also impersonated a clown in order to pull off a scheme of his own in the Batman the Animated Series episode, Be a Clown. Shut up, Jekko. That's the clown that he impersonated in episode, you idiot. You missed your cue. Trivia. Last appearance of the Mad Hatter, as I said. This is one of only two episodes to deal with Dick Grayson's past growing up in Haley's Circus. The other, obviously, is the two-parter Robin's Reckoning, which you mentioned earlier. When Detective Harley Harvey... wow. Can you imagine...
Detective
if,
Harley...
Well,
Harley
wait. Harvey Quinn? Can you imagine if Harvey had a kid, Detective Harley Bullock? Oh, God.
Detective Harvey Quinn?
Oh, God, Lord. Detective Harvey Bullock finds the suspicious circus clown laying on a roof of his police car. Bullock says, "Okay, Mr. Happy, off the car." In the new Batman Adventures episode, Beware the Creeper, which will be coming up next week, the Creeper refers to the Joker as Mr. Happy when they first meet.
Mr. Happy.
Huh?
He's Mr. Happy.
I so have, that is so going in this episode. Quotes: Robin, Nightwing, what are you doing here? Oh, just following a pattern of obsessive behavior instilled on me at an early age. Oh man. Batman, you all right? Nightwing, yeah, well, it's a couple of ribs.
Who needs those?
You know, looking back through the quotes and stuff, I love that. I love that exchange between Robin and Nightwing. But other than that, this episode, even though it's nice to see Robin's or Dick Grayson's more of his past, this episode is not done very well at all.
No, there's animation inconsistencies throughout.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of those. So we are going to move on to the next episode.
Here, kid. I think you lost this.
I could have handled him.
Coulda, woulda, didn't.
You sound just like Batman.
I'm nothing like him.
Yeah, right. The mask, the attitude, the long underwear.
Drop it!
I'd love to know what happened between you two.
Things change.
No kidding. You guys used to be the greatest. Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo.
Maybe you should ask him.
I did. And you'll never guess what he said. Things change.
Up next, personal opinion here. Best episode of the entire run. All 108, 109 episodes. This is my number one favorite episode. If anyone asked me to make a top 10 episode list, this would be number one every single time. Old Wounds.
This would be in my top five.
Yeah. Well, we all know you don't like Dick.
We know you do.
Shut up.
You threw that one at yourself.
You ass. Oh, God. As Robin fights against pickpockets and thieves, one gains the upper hand and traps him in an overturned garbage bin. When the goon runs into the street, a shadowy figure flies off a building and tackles him. Around the corner where Robin is extracting himself from the garbage bin, that sounds so wrong, Nightwing emerges with the man who tried to run, with Robin remarking that he could have gotten him. As Nightwing shrugs off this proclamation, Robin remarks that he is just like Batman. Stunned, Nightwing remarks that he is nothing of the sort. Robin then asks him why he left the role of Robin, and Nightwing merely responds that things change. And he should ask Batman. Robin tells him that Batman said the same thing. Nightwing then takes Robin to a dock and recounts his last days as Robin, just after finishing college at Gotham State University. This episode is by far, far and away, the best Nightwing episode, the best Joker episode. It's just all around great. The backstory of how Dick Grayson's final days as Robin came about is just absolutely amazing. I mean, there are quotes out the wazoo that are so good in here. There really, really are. Dick being summoned as Robin. This isn't a good time. Batman, I'm not making a schedule. Batman, you're late. Excuse me for having a life, Robin says. Joker, oh God. Joker. Nice entrance. Either you've never heard of a door or you just like pulling glass out of your shorts. From beginning to end, this episode is very well written. The animation on it is almost spot on. There are a couple of points where the animation might be lacking, but it's pretty much spot on. Just seeing how the fallout happens with Robin leaving on his own. And I know in the trivia bits it has a note of, this seems to be more of a pre-crisis version of Dick Grayson than a post-crisis, because I believe post-crisis Robin actually got Batman fired him. I just love this episode. It's so damn good. Thoughts?
Really good episode. I like how they explain the splitting of Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Actually kind of showing you why Robin became Nightwing in the first place. And the fact that Batman kept going on too far, whereas Robin, yeah, you know, Grayson had more of a, more of a tack to getting what he needed rather than, using brute force every time. Like, especially with the Connor incident,
mm-hmm,
which was pretty much one of the last straws.
Yeah.
But I like how it also touches on the fact that you have, you know, the Joker, you have Robin, Batgirl, Batman. I mean, it's just kind of a roundabout, like, entire encompassing story that fits really well into this DCAU.
Yeah. And like I said before, there's so many... I'm not even going to cite all the awesome quotes off, because they're going to be in this podcast episode from the audio, because they're just so damn good. This is, I can definitively say, this is the one episode that all, like, Robin's Reckoning and then this, the beginnings of Dick Grayson as Robin and Old Wounds, those should be the two storyline points of any new animated feature, anything to do with Dick Grayson as either Robin or Nightwing. I am so enjoying what the new 52 Nightwing is doing with Kyle Higgins writing him, because Kyle, like us, has a love for the DCAU, and he loves this character so much that he is writing him perfectly, because one of Kyle's biggest thing is, what do you know about Dick Grayson? He was the first Robin, and then he was, you know, and then he grew up to be Nightwing. That's really all you know. So you don't want to have him stuck in the shadow of Batman. You want him to eventually become, you know, still have that, you know, that training and that attitude that he's learned over the years from Batman, but you want him to be his own man. And Kyle is doing an amazing, amazing job writing on Nightwing for New 52 for DC Comics, because I know previously, before the New 52, he was in Bloodhaven. I don't know that whole storyline. I have not read the old Nightwing comics. Honestly, I'm loving New 52 Nightwing. I'm not even sure if I want to go back and read the old Nightwing comics. No disrespect to the creators that are on those, but you know, like right now for me, Chicago is the new home for Nightwing, and it's just amazing.
Well,
it's
one of the nice things about the new
New 52.
Well, not only the New 52, but the new run of Robin, and then even or of Nightwing, and
Batgirl.
Well, no, looking at the fact that Kyle's now writing Batman Beyond, Robin, yeah. You know, Dick Grayson is going to play a bigger role.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was before because of the previous writers of Batman Beyond, but he's really going to be playing more of a role now that Kyle's involved.
Oh, have you read that first issue of Batman Beyond 2.0 yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I know that he's basically running the show.
It doesn't necessarily. After we record this episode, I'm gonna have to give you my that stuff I talked about. But anyway, Old Wounds, absolutely amazing. If I was making a top five list right now, Old Wounds number one, Over the Edge number two, Robin's Reckoning both parts number three, Christmas with the Joker number four, and Joker's Millions number five would be my top five BTAS episodes overall. Just absolutely, Old Wounds is absolutely awesome. Getting into the trivia, thank God there are no production inconsistencies. This episode's flashback was later adapted into the limited series The Batman Adventures, The Lost Years, written by series writer Hilary J. Bader, with artwork by Bo Hampton, Terry Beatty, Lee Loughridge, and Rick Taylor. It bridged the gap between Batman the Animated Series and the new Batman Adventures, explaining how Batman discovered Batgirl's identity, Dick's journey around the world, and Tim's life prior to becoming Robin, including his witnessing the final fight between Batman and company against the Joker. Contrary to popular belief, the Lost Years series was based on the script for Old Wounds, rather than the other way around. Although Dick never says it out loud, clearly the climax of this episode implies that Dick has forgiven Batman. This version appears, as I said before, pre-crisis versus post-crisis. Alfred telling Barbara that he is Batman is echoed in the Static Shock episode, Hard as Nails, where he tells Static the same thing and replies to Static's disbelief, "Just once, I wish someone would believe me."
That'd be hilarious.
This is the new Batman Adventures episode that features Dick in his Robin outfit, and is the only one of two episodes to feature the entire team, Batman, Batgirl, Robin, and Nightwing, in their current costumes. Though Batman and Batgirl are only seen in the flashback, the other episode to show all four in their costumes is Over the Edge. However, neither episode shows all four together in costume at the same time. Joker, obviously, makes a reference to the 1995 film Apollo 13 when he says, "Houston,
we have a problem."
Yeah. Just amazing. Just amazing. You know, it just is. This entire episode is just absolutely awesome. So we are going to move on.
Okay, so I've seen the old junk. Now can I go play some videos?
The whole point of bringing you here was to keep you away from those games for one night.
Well, at least I'm not the only prisoner here. So, they got you too, huh?
I beg your pardon?
You know, did your parents force you into this?
I'm here by myself.
Oh. Well, at least you've got Kitty to keep you company. Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we offer a number of fascinating artifacts from the so-called Dark Ages. First on the block is this. It is rumored to have been the personal branding iron of the Arthurian-era witch, Morgan le Fay. Legend has it this piece has some sort of magical power. Gotham Auctioneers Limited makes no such guarantee. The suggested opening bid is 10,000.
100,000. I said 100,000.
Ah, Master Clarion, good to see you again. 100,000 is the bid.
That kid has 100 grand?
The bid
you
is
gotta raise my allowance.
Do I hear?
110.
What? Somebody else is actually bidding. Unbelievable.
110 is the bid from Mr. Blood, is it?
120.
130.
140.
150.
250.
Going once. Going twice.
1,000,000.
Oh, 1,000,000. This is absurd.
The bid is 1,000,000. Going once. Going twice. Sold.
There goes my raise.
Up next is The Demon Within. When I first saw this episode title, I hadn't seen this episode in a while. When I first saw the title, I'm like, hey, one final race episode or something. Ooh, no, not at all. Bruce Wayne and Tim Drake visit Gotham Auctioneers Limited in an effort to keep Tim away from playing video games. Tim encounters another boy known as Clarion, who claims he is there by himself. Clarion leaves and sits down for the auction, which is for the branding iron used by Morgan le Fay. Clarion bids $100,000, but a man named Jason Blood bids $110,000. The two soon enter a bidding war, and Clarion bids $250,000. The auction is about to end when Bruce unexpectedly bids $1,000,000 and wins. Okay, so.
And that's why Bruce is a badass.
You know what? You know what this episode reminds me of? And it did. It happened a year after it came out, too. 1,000,000. You don't have the money to cover it. 2,000,000. 3,000,000. I'll borrow it from you. It reminds me of Batman and Robin when they're arguing over who's going to win Poison Ivy. Is what that whole auction scene reminded me of.
No, don't compare it to that.
I'm just saying that one scene.
Okay.
As far as the back and forth with the auction. But this episode is all about Jason Blood, a.k.a. Etrigan. And it's all about mysticism and magic and Clarion being Blood's mortal enemy and everything else. And it's a good episode. I like it. However, I do not like, no disrespect to the actor, but I don't like Billy Zane. As awesome as he is, I don't like him as the voice of Etrigan / Jason Blood, because when I didn't see this episode first. I saw the Justice League episodes first. Night of Shadows, Night of Shadows, Initiation, Kids Stuff, and The Balance. And in Kids Stuff, he is voiced by... where is it? Etrigan is voiced by Michael T. Weiss. And he does an amazing, amazing job. Actually, no, that's not the episode. But the Justice League version of Etrigan is Michael T. Weiss, and it's just amazing. People will know that guy from The Pretender, which is a series on TNT for a while. This episode is interesting. It's very cool. I like how, you know, Bruce kind of approaches, like, he believes in magic, but at the same time, he doesn't have an opinion really. Like, there are some people that believe in magic and some people that believe in science, and there's no middle ground for them.
He has an open mind, but that's because he's seen all kinds of crazy shit already.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And what I love about this episode is just looking at the stuff through Tim Drake's eyes and just seeing how it all plays out. And that's,
he's like, oh, what?
Yeah, yeah. Huh, what? what did you think of this one?
I mean, first of all, I'd never heard of this character before.
Yeah.
So that was a little different for me. Not only that, I mean, I liked the designs of everything and the creature and everything else. So I thought that was kind of cool. I liked the bidding war that happened that, and then Bruce winning. I thought it was kind of messed up that, you know, Clarion went and had Etrigan.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really didn't care about the a lot of the characters things, but I did like kind of like the elements that were going on throughout the story. It did keep it interesting. You know, like the crystal ball thing, and then, you know, the Etrigan. So I mean, I thought it was a good episode. Not one of my favorites, but it was. It was kind of cool seeing that whole magic thing going on and Batman kind of out of his element.
Yeah, Clarion, Clarion, he's not as good, because I know you're going to jump down my throat as soon as I say this, but he's not as good as, but he is just as, because he's a kid, he's even more creepy as a villain than adult Joker sometimes.
Well, just Joker's more of a goofball.
Well, yeah, but...
Are you talking about Batman Beyond Joker?
No, I'm talking about current universe Joker.
Oh.
You know, there are times when between BTAS, STAS, because he appears there in World's Finest, and Justice League. Justice League, specifically Wild Cards, he gets really...
Oh, yeah, really he gets real twisted.
He gets real twisted in that, but there are times when I watch this episode and I'm thinking, Clarion is so much more creepy than the Joker. And I think it is because he is a child that's why it's so unnerving, at least to me anyway.
Well, it's that whole animated thing that they got going on, like the how he's styled.
Yeah.
He looks creepy.
Yep. Master Splinter is in this episode.
Who's he play?
Peter Renaday voices the auctioneer.
Oh, nice.
Alright, we are going to move on to the final episode of the day after this.
Mysterious arsonist strikes again. Police baffled.
Look, they got a shot of Batman.
Where?
There!
Okay, Sport, you can move the light now. It is him!
Awesome!
They never get a shot of Batman. He's too quick. Wells, The Dark Knight's on the case, Arson Boy's history. And the Batman doesn't take prisoners. The way I hear it, he isn't even human. He's like a giant pterodactyl beast with big fangs and talons. And when he sees a bad guy, he swoops down from the sky and carries him off. Scree! Scree!
Reality check, Nick.
My uncle knows Batman. He says he's really nice.
Nice? Yeah, right.
No, I mean it. He says Batman's neat. He's got a lot of cool equipment, and he and Robin are real funny.
And my dad's a spy with the CIA.
I'm serious. Well, see, my uncle was the guard at the Walker Music Center.
Last up is Legends of the Dark Knight. It's late in Gotham. Three kids read the Gotham Gazette's latest report on a mysterious arsonist. When Matt, one of them, thinks he can make out Batman on a photograph, Carrie needs to double-check it before she believes it. But she assures her friends the arson boy is history once Batman is on the case. Enthusiastically, the third kid, Nick, begins to tell his friends of how he perceives the Batman. Basically, it's a rundown with the three of them giving their own perspective of the legend of Batman himself and how they perceive Batman to be.
Yes.
In some elements, it kind of gets it that 70s animated hokey style. In another one, it's which Matt's Batman and Robin is the almost 1960s Batman.
Yep.
60s, 70s animated Batman. It's got a lot of the 60s vibe to it, so we'll just say 60s.
Yep.
And it's all kinds of, yeah, just like that. And it features the Joker.
A design on the Joker that would return in Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, unfortunately. and then you have Act 2, which you have Carrie's version, which she's the girl Robin, which this is, you know, the Dark Knight Returns.
Yep.
Batman. And so that was kind of a nice touch, kind of pre-animating it before it ever actually gets the treatment, which... The funny part is a lot of the animation style in this episode for that is actually still kind of carried over. I mean, they're both obviously based off of the graphic novel, but it's a lot of the style of this actual episode is portrayed over
what's in the film. Yeah.
In the film. I mean, although it's much grittier and darker. I did like that. This was actually my first exposure to The Dark Knight Returns before I read the graphic novel earlier this year.
Yeah.
And then the third story is the actual story. And it's of actual DCAU Batman fighting against the arsonist, which is Firefly.
They build it up. It's so awesome. At the end,
fizzle out.
It's just Firefly, really? Who fired off the extinguisher?
Should have been Joker lighting, like, ass farts. It would have been funny.
I'm only burning my half. I'm going to give this town what they deserve, a better class of criminal.
I'm going to give them me. I'm going to put a little bow on my head and say, hello, Gotham.
Joker's back in town. Voice match ID.
Voice match invalid.
Yes. Oh, man. I like this episode for what it is. I think it's a really good episode. And I remember seeing this a while ago, like a long time ago before I rewatched it. But before we came up to rewatching these, like, I didn't remember what this episode was. And this episode reminds me, what this reminds me of is an episode that we've already covered that they already did earlier back in the BTAS days, POV, with the three cops having the different point of view.
Only I like this much better.
Oh, no. that's, I like them both equally, because I think POVs are really interesting. POV is more about the Gotham PD than it is about Batman. And I like this one as well. I mean, this is a damn good episode. It was an amazing way to show off the many versions of Batman. So absolutely enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, and it was a nice touch showing kind of the olden days of Batman, the 80s, you know, revival and change of Batman to the current Batman. So, I mean, it was a nice, you know, showing of history, so to speak.
Yes.
Across it. So, I really liked the episode, though. Upon first watching it, though, I did not. Like, when it first aired, I was like, yeah. And then after rewatching it on DVD, I'm like, I really like this episode. Yes, it's also on the Best of Warner Brothers DC Comics collection and the Best of Batman DVDs and Gotham Knights, I believe. Production notes. One shot of an explosion that was first used in Where There's Smoke is used at several points in the episode. It's first used when the mutant leader's torch is blown up, then as Robin destroys a grenade launcher. When Batman punches the mutant leader as one of the first explosions in the cinema, and finally when Batman throws an explosive batarang to provide the children with an escape route. Production inconsistencies. Atop the piano, Batman is standing to the Joker's left and Robin to his right. The goon throws Robin into the strings, almost parallel to the keys, beyond the point where Batman had stood. However, as they land on the strings, Batman is still on the left. Joker jumps on the giant piano's white keys, but many sharp and flat notes, the black keys, are heard. Getting into the trivia, you have this episode is sprawling with nods and homages to various incarnations of Batman history, like I stated before. The concept of the story was first used in Batman number 250, cover date July 1973. Bruce Timm had no knowledge of the story when he submitted the idea and was nagged endlessly about it by the rest of the crew. In the story, three city kids are taken on a camping trip by Bruce Wayne and relate their personal experiences with the Caped Crusader. A similar but more true to the original adaptation of the story was Have I Got a Story for You, the first chapter of of Batman Gotham Knight. The first story comes from that issue, though the concept of Batman being presumed a metahuman is also touched upon in most post-Zero Hour retellings of Superman's first contact with Batman. The second story was they had the golden age of Batman in there, basically. Yes. I like the nod. They had the handshake of Batman and Robin in there. Kind of like the 60s intro. I was like, that's quite funny, actually.
Old chum?
Yes. Yeah. Refers to him as old chum. And yeah, that 1966 thing was a nice nod.
Yeah, it was.
Also, between the second and third story, the kids meet Joel, who stands in front of a thrift store called Shoemaker. He thinks of Batman with tight rubber armor and a Batmobile that can drive up walls. Dark Knight movie?
No.
The Schumacher. Joel, got it. Yes, I got it.
Come on now. You know better than that.
Well, the drive up walls thing was the only thing I was thinking. Like the bat thing. The boy and his opinion on Batman are not so subtle nod to Joel Schumacher's Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Yeah. And says criticized for their homosexual overtones, which that's just weird. The third story is an all out adaptation, as I said before, of the Dark Knight Returns. And it says the producers considered a third tribute segment focusing on the early 1970s stories, which restored Batman's dark overtones. However, they decided that emulating Adam's naturalistic art style would be too difficult for animation. The title Legends of the Dark Knight was used for the series. It ran from 1989 to 93 and had a second run as Batman Legends of the Dark Knight until 2007. That's also the namesake of this very podcast.
That's right.
I was looking through before we started it for a name for the podcast because I didn't want the word podcast in the show. And I found this and I'm like, well, this is actually perfect because these are various legends of the Dark Knight.
Yes. That's true.
Getting into the final bit of trivia. It says the design of 50s Joker was brought back into animated form in 2008. The Brave and the Bold, like you said before. The Walker Music Center was named after composer Shirley Walker.
That's an awesome nod.
That's quite cool.
Great. Yeah, that is so great that they did that.
Joker's plot in the second story is to steal the original score of, I can't name that opera guy, in 1892 opera that often shows up in Batman media. Penguin and Veronica Vreeland attended the opera in Birds of a Feather.
Yes.
The boy Matt is voiced by Ryan O'Donoghue, who would later voice another boy named Matt, Matt McGinnis in Batman Beyond.
So, wait a second. Does that mean that Matt in this? No, that couldn't be. Because Matt McGinnis would have to be so much older. I'm trying to connect the dots here. Matt and Matt. Have them be the same kid. Nah, that doesn't work.
No.
But yeah, no, that was an awesome nod. I did notice that.
They hired him back.
Yeah.
Kevin Michael Richardson was a fan of The Dark Knight Returns and was very excited about playing the mutant leader.
Yeah, he was awesome as the mutant leader.
I didn't even know that was him.
Like, yep.
That's awesome.
Unless he's doing one of his really strange voices, if Kevin's just doing his... KMR has different tones of his regular like if you watch Panthro from Thundercats 2011, you listen to Bulkhead from Transformers Prime, and then you watch like Bishop from X-Men Wolverine and the I think it's Wolverine and the X-Men. They're all three very different voices because he uses different tones in his voice, but they're pretty much all his regular voice. The only time you sometimes really can't tell is if he's doing some weird Cleveland show thing or if he's doing some weird Futurama thing, or when he's impersonating Tracy Morgan.
There's a lot of people that impersonate Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan. Morgan impersonates himself. Oh, man. Anything else for this one?
No, this was a very epic episode. Just because of the various iterations and nods to various Batman legends. But I think that's it. So we'll be back after this commercial break and cover our top five roundup before closing it out.
Just a minute. Dick? What's wrong?
I didn't know where else to go. I've had it. I can't do this anymore.
Do what?
I've got to get away. Away from him.
I don't understand.
How could you? How could anybody?
Well, sit down and tell me about it.
I can't.
You can tell me.
It's not that. It's just... Oh, forget it! I shouldn't have come here, I'm sorry. Gotta work this out on my own. I'll call you later.
Coming to Grand Rapids, Michigan on September 21st and 22nd is GrandCon Gaming and Comics Convention, presented by Celebration Cinemas. Join us in playing or chatting it up with fellow enthusiasts in a community that understands your passions. Get lost in the adventure of your favorite role-playing game. Admire costumes and art from vendors and attendees. Meet the creators behind your favorite mainstream and independent games and comic books. Check out unpublished games and sneak peek at things to come. You can get all this and more at GrandCon. For more information, please visit www.grand-con.com.
Batgirl, I still can't believe it. How could you keep something like this from me?
You weren't exactly honest with me either.
But you told him.
He knew.
It wasn't my place to tell you.
But it was your place to put her in danger.
It wasn't like that. I volunteered.
You think you did? You don't know him like I do. He manipulates, pulls strings, anything to get what he wants.
I thought we had the same goals.
Things change. I changed. The game's over, Batman. I quit.
Robin, wait.
And we're back. So, rounding out today's episodes, what are your top five?
At the bottom is Cult of the Cat. And then Animal Act. And then Demon Within. Number two is Legends of the Dark Knight. And of course, number one, Old Wounds. Old Wounds will always, unless I'm pitting Old Wounds against Over the Edge, Old Wounds will win out against everything for me. What about you?
Well, this one's going to be quite a shocker. We actually agree.
Wow, the internet is about to break.
Danger, danger, danger. Yes, we actually agree 100%. I don't have any other opinion of them. I do think that Old Wounds was the superior episode, at least of the rebooted new Batman Adventures. I think that that was the most excellent episode out of the entire run, out of the revival. So I can't argue with that. Legends of the Dark Knight, I'd have to put close in there. But yeah, for this episode, I think that those were the top two, Old Wounds and Legends of the Dark Knight. Not that there's anything wrong with any of the other episodes other than Cult of the Cat, possibly part of Animal Act. But yeah, overall, not bad episodes this time. But yeah, I'm
next time it's going to be a clear cut for me. It's going to be a clear cut winner is what the number one episode is going to be for next for episode 22 of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at a loss of words. The next episode of the podcast, there's really only one clear-cut good episode of that bunch.
I like two of the episodes. I just don't like that one episode as the series finale. You could have either had Over the Edge or Old Wounds. Specifically, Old Wounds should have been the series finale.
That would have made a great book ending, and we were saying this off-air, that Old Wounds would have made the best ending. Only for the fact that it leaves at the end saying, you know, having Nightwing saying, well, it's about time, let's, you know, go meet up, basically. And so it would have made sense for it to say, you know, that, and then end with, like, and the legend continues or something like that. I mean, even without saying that, it would be perfect just because you have all of the Bat family basically heading out together. Leading into, you know, Justice League, which I wish that they would have incorporated some of those characters in there.
Yeah, there was a time, I believe, after BTAS, New Batman Adventures, New Batman Superman Adventures, there was a time where there was a Bat embargo. And I think it was I think the reason why during Justice League there was a Bat embargo was because, honestly, it's all Nolan's fucking fault. Because Justice League, I don't remember, came out in 2005, so they were probably in production during 2003, 2004. That was like the final 2 years of Justice League Unlimited. So there was a huge Bat embargo where until Nolan picked what he wanted to use, no one could use any of the Bat characters other than Batman and the Joker, you know, the bat. It was a huge thing. I'll look it up for next episode, so we can be more defined on what the bat embargo was. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why none of the Batman Rogues Gallery is in Justice League whatsoever.
Yeah, I again, like I said, I wish that would have been taken into consideration, but still, overall, I think that would have been a superior episode, or series finale, and kind of like epilogue for Batman Beyond. Should have been in Batman Beyond. I mean, I understand why it was in Justice League, because then they can kind of throw whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm looking at it here on the DCAU wiki, and I was right. Bat embargo was the term used for the decision to limit or ban the use of Batman-related characters from any media source outside of the new Batman Begins movie franchise and the Batman animated series. This decision meant that only obscure Bat villains such as Clock King and KG Beast, Gark and Sportsmaster, Blockbuster, or Copperhead would appear in the DCAU. It is unclear who enacted the Bat embargo, but it is commonly believed to be either DC Comics or Warner Brothers. The reason Warner Brothers supplied is that with the coming of the Batman children, their target demographic would be confused to see two different versions of the same characters at the same time. This reasoning does not explain everything associated with the embargo. A number of Batman characters reserved never saw use in The Batman, i.e. Two-Face, Ra's al Ghul, the Scarecrow, Mad Hatter, most likely because they were to be used in the Christopher Nolan movies, except the Mad Hatter. It also does not explain why other heroes were also banned, nor does it explain why Batman himself was allowed to continue appearing in Justice League Unlimited. These questions present, but by no means confirm, the possibility that there were other reasons involved in the ban. So it goes on. I will actually, I'll send you this link and you can put it in the post for this episode of the podcast, so that way people can actually read the other reasons that some of the creators and stuff had given. So, but yeah, no, that's one of the reasons why we didn't get many Bat villains or Bat heroes in Justice League, which kind of sucked.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, that's sad but true.
Yes, but, yes it is.
But yeah, so this is the second to the last episode of the podcast rounding out the Batman the Animated Series run. Before we get into the film's commentaries, so the next episode will be the last episode of the episodic reviews before we get into the film commentaries, where we'll sit down and watch every one of the Batman films, even at the dismay of one of them.
It's just a bad movie. Even though
I will agree it's a bad movie, but it's still, it belongs in there only because it's an episode.
It's hanging in continuity by the thinnest of threads. Thinnest of threads. And I will bring that up when we talk about that.
Yeah.
That commentary.
However, it still belongs in there only because of just the rest of what it is. But regardless, so there'll be a several episode run. It will be covering, and I'll get into it again just to reiterate later. It'll be Mask of the Phantasm, Sub-Zero, World's Finest, and Mystery of the Batwoman, before jumping into the legendary and awesome Batman Beyond. So, yes. For this episode of Legends of the Dark Knight, I have been Steve Megatron Phillips, and you've been
Dave Joe and Mike.
So, follow us on Twitter at LOT Dark Knight. You can become a fan on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio. My Twitter handle is at SCP21. Yours is
Dave Joe and Mike.
Join us next time when we discuss Girls Night Out, Mad Love, Chemistry, Beware the Creeper, and Judgment Day. So until next time, I am Vengeance, I am the Night, I am Batman.
No, you're not.
I am. Oh, wait, wrong voice.
That's right, see?
I'm Batman. Batman. Yes, I'm Batman. I'll tell Captain Clown, too.
Right. Good night, everybody.
Balls.
What? You should be Sidewalk Stroganoff!
I changed the menu.
Call the police so they can round up these clowns. Well done, old chum.
I never put on that costume again.
And you still haven't forgiven him?
Why should I? He'll never change. Must be one of the wallets they stole.
Whose is it?
I don't believe it. I think this is yours, Connor.
Oh, thanks. But you almost gave me a heart attack. I thought you were the Batman.
No.
I ran up against him once. It was a real eye-opener. Forced me to get my life together. Now I've got this great job. Even Mr. Wayne knows me. Terrific guy. Never too busy to stop and ask how my boy's doing.
Mr. Wayne is a good man.
Guess Batman had a change of heart. Who'd have thought he had one? Speak of the devil. You coming?
I guess it's about time.